While we wait for more of those messages to come through, we're going to get a lot more serious and talk about the really interesting segment that aired on Carte Blanche last night, which gave, I thought, some quite unique insight into the taxi industry and the people who run it and how it actually functions. Lots of facts and figures banded around that I had not heard before. And of course, it's an industry known for being a law unto itself and frequently complained about. But it was quite interesting to get some insight into how it's actually regulated internally and at what cost to the people doing the regulating. On the line with me is Carte Blanche producer Nikki Troll, who was responsible for last night's segment. Nikki, great to have you with us today. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
Sure. The figures I heard last night were quite staggering. 250,000 minibus taxis on the road and transporting 70% of South African commuters. How many trips does that actually equate to every single day, Nikki?
It's about 15 million single commuter trips.
Sure. It's a lot of miles on the road, isn't it?
It is. They do transport the country. It's the lifeblood of the country when it comes, when you think about getting your workers to work on time, getting kids to school. And as much as we love to hate them, when it comes to public transport, there is that gap and they fill that gap.
Absolutely. And the money involved, I was quite surprised at as well, Nikki, that the figures quoted suggested that somebody who is in an ownership position can make a very, very good profit indeed. 37,000 rand a month profit on a good long distance route, over and above the cost of servicing and repairing the taxis and paying for the petrol, etc. That's a very healthy sum that a lot of business owners would be happy to take home.
Exactly. And that, those figures are from like Taxi SA. So it's, you know, from the people in the industry that, that put the, those figures out there. And I think it's because there is that gap in the market. The majority of people in the country don't own personal vehicles. And it's, you know, supply and demand. So there is that demand. They get to put their prices at a rate that is affordable but still profitable for them. And yeah, that's what they reckon they're making on long distance routes. And on short distance routes, they put that figure around 25,000 rand as a profit margin a month on a taxi.
Still nothing to sneeze at, is it? And it tells you then why things get as heated as they do and often end in violence, Nikki. There's a lot of money at stake. These are very lucrative routes. And if you mess with somebody's source of that income, it can go horribly wrong very quickly. You interviewed as part of this segment, taxi boss Nkosikaya Mnyanzeli, who is one of the local chairs of a long distance taxi association here in Cape Town. How did you actually get access to him, Nikki? Because he looks like he doesn't set foot outside of his house without a squadron of armed guards around him. How did you actually manage to connect with him?
We managed to connect through some of his security, the security company that does his security detail. In our line of work, we get in touch a lot with, you know, the security sector, and through a few contacts, we make contact with him. And it's actually his security detail that connected us with him. And he was quite open to it because, you know, before he had these guards, his life was even more sheltered, Pippa. He didn't go out. He wouldn't go to the mall because you wouldn't risk it. And when he was given the opportunity to become a chairman of an association, he just put his foot down and said, I'm not doing it unless I have guards, because when you become a chairman, you die. It's as simple as that. He speaks quite openly about the guys that came before him.
Yeah.
If they were sharp enough to insist on guards, maybe they'd still be around. But he put it quite... It was quite shocking when he said that, you know, people don't die in this industry. You know, they don't get sick and die. They get taken out.
They get taken out, yeah. Yeah, Nikki, I mean, the goosebumps came up for me when he said in this industry, if they want you to step aside, they don't ask you. They bring a gun. And, I mean, he, of course, survived an assassination attempt himself in 2015, really demonstrating what a cutthroat and dangerous business it is. He did, however, take the decision that he would accept the chairmanship. And it was quite interesting getting some insight into how the industry self-regulates. Nikki, there's a lot of complaining about the fact that there's not enough government regulation, that there's too much of the income outside of the ambit of SARS, for example, that they don't obey the rules of the road and all of that. But it was interesting to get some insight into how internally they break it up and manage it. Do you want to just give our listeners a sense of how things actually function for the sake of those who didn't watch the segment last night?
Yeah, do you know, it is a cash business. Any cash business is difficult to regulate because there is no solid, you know, line to trace or to trace the income, you know, what do you declare? And that's up to government to regulate. And I suppose until there are rules and regulations put on them, they're not going to comply with it because no one is regulating them. You know, those rules don't exist. But internally, when it comes to deciding on routes and your allocation or settling disputes, that's the role of a chairman. So there'll be taxi owners who sit on a commission, on a committee for a particular association, and associations for particular routes. And then you have a chairman who chairs that. So the more taxis you have, the more say you have, because that's your currency when it comes to these meetings. And, you know, routes are allocated, and if there are disputes, they're usually handled. Your first point of call is a rank manager. So his responsibility will be to sort out the drivers. And ironically, the drivers are, you know, the bane of existence for the taxi bosses as well, because, you know, sometimes they drink, sometimes they get into accidents, sometimes they get fined. You know, and I'm not saying, you know, it's drivers work really long hours, and they themselves don't always get reap the benefits of the industry. They don't make the big money, but they need to be kept in line as well by the taxi bosses, you know, so they have someone to answer to. So while they irritate drivers on the road, they're kept in line by the rank manager, who then answers to the association committee and to the chairman. So amongst themselves, it's not a free-for-all. There's a structure that you answer to. There is steps that will be taken if it comes to issues of discipline. And those matters get resolved at different levels. And if it can't be resolved at a rank manager level, it gets escalated to the chairman, who will then step in and kind of sort things out.
And have the final say, as it were. Nikki, I mean, as you say, it's a sort of a self-regulatory environment, and with their own set of rules, and with a fair degree of disregard for the rules that everybody else has to play by on the roads, including the rule of who has the right to travel when and where. I mean, it was very interesting to see your interview with a business owner in Johannesburg who says he is routinely threatened, intimidated, victimized by extortionists in the taxi industry who try to stop him transporting his own staff to and from work. Tell us a bit more about what he told you.
So that was just one voice, and it happens all the time around the country, particularly in KZN, in Gauteng. Business owners, people, civilians transporting helpers, transporting staff will be pulled over, and they'd be grilled, really, like, what are you doing over here? You're not, your people must get out, they must take the taxi. The irony is, we didn't expect him to be so open about it when we asked him the question, and his answer was straight. It's like, you're taking money that's meant for us. We don't mind if you transport people before 6 a.m. in the morning, because we're not operating them, but when you start operating, that sector of the market belongs to us. And that's not how it works in a free market economy. You can't dictate that, but they are intimidating. The guy that we interviewed was, you know, it happens to them a couple of times a month. And the keys will be taken, and his drivers don't fight back because it is intimidating.
Don't want to be one of the 123 people who were killed in taxi-related incidents last year, for example.
And they fire indiscriminately, Papa. It isn't always just people that are taxi bosses or taxi drivers. Innocent people, bystanders, because, you know, they in some of the video clips we showed, they fire randomly. Anybody could be hit. So, you know, citizens take that risk when they travel in taxis as well, because you may not be the target, but you may be the collateral damage.
And what a position to be in, that your only affordable means of getting to work is to take that risk every day, because the trains are not functioning, my city bus might be too expensive, for example, and so many of the other transport networks that should be carrying more of that 70% are not operating as they should be, which leaves the commuter with it's Hobson's choice, isn't it, Nikki?
Absolutely. I think after doing the story, for me, when I drive behind taxis and they cut me off, I try and remind myself that it's full of people just trying to get to work because they don't have another option.
Yeah, we could all use that reminder, and perhaps a bit of a sobering reminder that you hoot or pull the middle finger or report them at your peril, Nikki, given what we heard last night about how quick some members are to retaliate. I mean, a lot of people commenting that they resent the fact that so much of that income goes untaxed. The taxi bosses, of course, would argue that they do contribute to the economy not only by getting people to work to run everybody else's businesses, but by paying a large amount in fuel every month, Nikki.
Fuel levies, and not just fuel levies, in tax paid in terms of VAT on new car sales. So they do contribute, but they should be contributing a lot more if we think in terms of normal company tax that an average business would be paying. So yes, they do contribute, but is it a fair share? Probably not. But who's monitoring it? No
and
one.
Who's going to be brave enough to take it on and dig into it? That's the big question. Nikki, final question, well, final remark, really. I found it very, very telling that the taxi boss you interviewed was quite emphatic in his view that he didn't want his own children to follow him into the family business. That says an awful lot, doesn't it?
It does. He was quite a contradiction, Papa, because you expect like a big, tough persona, someone with a lot of attitude. This man is soft-spoken. He's respectful. He's almost a little introverted. And I think that's why his comments were so powerful, because he said it like it is, and brutal, brutal details in a quiet, calm manner. And he lives this life, but he knows he doesn't want it for his kids. Mm. And he is proud of his children, and he spends time with them on weekends. He takes calls Monday to Friday, but this is not a life for them. He says, you know, if he were to die and they were to try and take over his business, they probably wouldn't cope. It's a legacy that he grew up with. He grew up in the taxi industry. Mm. He lives this world. He doesn't know anything else. He couldn't go, you know, take on a different career if he wanted to, because this is what he knows. But he knows his kids. He wants them to be educated, and he wants them to live a life far away from taxis. Mm. And he's not, you know, he sees their future differently, but he appreciates that the taxi industry allows him to give his children this opportunity. So, you know, he's not negative about industry. He sees it as his way to give his kids the best possible life. And that's what any parent wants.
Yeah. Ironically, in his case, that probably means not ever having to travel in a taxi when they're adults. Nikki Troll, thank you very much. It was a really interesting segment to watch. And if you missed Carte Blanche last night, firstly, if you have DSTV access, you can find the episode on the catch-up function and watch that particular segment. Everybody else, if you don't have DSTV access, just a reminder that most of the stories make it to the Carte Blanche website by the middle of the following week. So give it a day or two. By Wednesday, you should be able to find a copy of the particular segment we've been discussing to watch on your own time.